Good morning. Welcome to worship on this, the day the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and
be glad.
We welcome Pastor Rich Kogler from the Ministry of Christian Giving as he'll be sharing God's Word with us this morning. One of the questions to think about as we worship our great God today is, what is it that you pray for when it comes to your finances? Do you pray that you will have enough each month to make the rent payments or the mortgage payments and or for medications? Do you pray that you will be able to lead a good example for the next generation? Do you pray how the gifts that God gives us, how they can be used to spread the gospel? These are some things to think about as we worship our God today, and so may He bless us in this worship of Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We'll turn our attention to the first hymn, hymn 392, and please note that the choir will be singing verse 1. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trust me in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Almighty God, in your bountiful goodness, keep us safe from every evil of body and soul. Make us ready with cheerful hearts to do whatever pleases you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. On this 20th Sunday after the Pentecost event, we hear this word of the Lord from the book of Proverbs. Our readings for today also emphasize our monthly theme on stewardship, being wise managers of God's gifts to us. And today we put the emphasis on the ministry of Christian giving. What is it then that you are chasing after in this life? Whatever it might be, is a reflection of what is in your heart. We hear these words. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. This is the word of our Lord. We continue with the hymn verse, which is printed out for us on page 7. Giving is a matter of the heart. And what is the motivation behind our giving? We hear these thoughts from our second reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. The word of our Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. According to the Gospel of St. Luke, the 16th chapter, now we can't take our material goods with us, so what are we doing with such? Well, God gives us time here on this side of heaven. An encouragement from our Lord. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The word of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with the hymn, Lord, You Love the Cheerful Giver, number 489.
Thank you. May the Holy Spirit strengthen your faith in Jesus, who has invited us and taught us to pray. Amen. The Word of God before us today is recorded in the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 18. I begin there at the first verse and read this parable that Jesus taught. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" These are the words of our text this morning. The focus of today's message is on prayer and a simple encouragement of our Savior. What is prayer? It's really simply defined. It's our talking to God. We speak to him in thought, words, songs, and hymns of praise. We're communicating to him, and it's part of the Christian life. Martin Luther said of prayer that prayer is so much a part of the Christian's life, it can be compared to the shoemaker who makes shoes. It's so much a part of him, he just has to make shoes. Prayer is like that. Hymns have been written about prayer. It talks about prayer being our vital breath. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. The text before us here today just encourages us to do something very, very simple. And that is to keep on praying and don't give up. In the Old Testament, there were pictures of people, God's chosen people, his patriarchs, who wrestled with God in prayer. Jacob wrestled with God in prayer. Very interesting picture, this wrestling idea in the prayer life of a Christian. And as we wrestle with God in prayer, as we bring our concerns, our requests, our thoughts, whatever issue in our life before him, there is kind of a back and forth going on, isn't there? There's a bit of a tension there as we wait on him to answer and we come again and request. And in the context of that part of our Christian life and in this beautiful invitation of our Savior, we think about his words and the parable he teaches us today. And he says, keep on praying, don't give up. His disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." They wanted a lesson in prayer, and Jesus did. He taught them the Lord's Prayer. And after he had finished teaching them the Lord's Prayer, he went on to say this to them, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open." The Bible records many accounts of Jesus himself praying. He models prayer for us. We see him going into the wilderness for 40 days, and he's busy doing what? Praying. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he goes to the cross of Calvary, asking God to strengthen him, his heavenly Father, to drink the cup of suffering that lay before him. On other occasions, Jesus would be described as going off a little bit to be by himself, to do what? Pray. Jesus not only teaches us about prayer, he not only gives us a prayer to pray, he encourages us to pray with the confidence that our prayers are going to be heard and they're going to be answered according to our Heavenly Father's will for us, which is always good. And yet here in our text, Jesus comes to his disciples then, and he speaks to us today, and he says, keep on praying. Don't give up. Why? He knows his disciples. He knows us. He knows what we're going to face as we follow him on our journey heavenward. He knows that life is not going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. There are going to be things that are just wonderful and great and joyful in our life, but there's also going to be some things that aren't like that at all. The Bible describes our life as not only filled with some joy, but also a veil of tears. And as he looks at us, and he looked at his disciples, and he saw the future, he knew what they would face, he knows what we're going to face, and he encourages us simply, keep on praying, don't give up. Keep on asking, keep on thanking, keep on coming before your Heavenly Father in my name in prayer. You're going to need some help. You're going to need some wisdom. Your faith, it will need to be strengthened. If you're to be found faithful on the day of your death to Christ, that you might be welcomed into the realms of glory. And that's what Jesus wants for us. And he knows that we, in our sinful nature that still clings to us, are prone to quit. That's right. Give up. Now, sometimes giving up on things, it really doesn't matter. I'm going to give up coffee. Okay, if you want to do that, fine. If you don't, that's okay too. No big deal. It's true about other things too. I'm going to give up this, I'm going to give up that. Very little consequence. Sometimes giving up things are very significant, though, in this life. Bad habits, give them up. Your life will be better for it. But Jesus takes us into the spiritual realm, and he takes us into our Christian walk and our Christian life, and he says, there's something that you dare not give up, and that's prayer. But we're prone to give up. It's a matter of not taking him at his word. It's a lack of trust expressed. That's our sinful weakness. Even as followers of Christ, we tend to give up when we're praying. Let me give you some examples. Those of you that are older and have children who have grown up into adult life may have attended this grade school right across the parking lot. Where are they today? If you're a family of five, it's not surprising that some are faithful to Christ and some are not. Have you been praying for both? Hopefully you have. But have you been praying for the one who is now about 40-something and have fallen away from Christ? And you bring that before the Lord. You saw it happening in their college years. It continued into their adult life, and it continues into their middle years. They're distant from the Lord at best, fallen away at worst. And what do? You pray for them. The Lord tells us to do that. Pray for them, that he would lead them to repentance, restore them like the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter. And you pray week after week, month after month, year after year, nothing seems to change. They get worse. They're more blatant in their denial of Christian teaching and values. They're never in church to praise God's name. And you pray some more, and still nothing happens. Do you give up? I think in all honesty, we come to a point on some things like that where we say, you know, I'm just not going to pray about it anymore. There are things like that in our life that we've been bringing before God's throne. It might be a family member. It might be a circumstance at work. It might be an illness that we've just had to live with day in and day out. It never improves. And we prayed about it and prayed about it, and no change. Nothing different. It seems like God is distant. He's not listening to that one. And we've stopped. We quit. And there is our sin of doubt, that what Jesus is saying here about prayer, about God's listening, about God's hearing, about his answering for our good and for the good of others, doesn't count in this circumstance. That's the lie. That's the devil's lie. Sometimes we believe that lie and we quit. And yet it's the same Lord who comes to us and says, as you repent of that sin, of quitting on praying, on trusting on that issue, I want you to know this. I'm not giving up on you. I want you to know this. I've gone to the cross for you and that sin too. I want you to know this. Cheer up. Your sins are forgiven. And Jesus reminds us of the importance of praying. And as we come before him in repentance and we hear that sweet message of forgiveness about the times we've quit in our prayer life, we're renewed. Our commitment to pray is strengthened. And we hear Jesus' words speaking to our hearts today when he says, keep on praying. Don't give up. And to underline the fact, he tells us a story. He tells us a parable. And in this parable, there are some key characters. It's a very direct and very simple parable. Let me highlight it for you. It was a widow woman who had an adversary, someone who was going against her in some way on a daily basis, causing her life misery, and it was unjust. And then there was a judge, and it was his job to hear the complaints and concerns of those people in his area. That's the way things worked in those Bible times. And that judge was to judge rightly and fairly and with wisdom. Well, this judge, we're told, was an arbitrary judge. Listen to the description. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. There you have it. At the heart of the matter, God? Forget you. What people think? Public opinion? Forget that. I'm going to do what I want. Now, he happened to be the judge that this woman brought her case before. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. There you have the problem. Doesn't go into the details of her problem, but it was significant. Now, this is a widow. She didn't have someone to go and speak on her behalf. She went herself, and we're told he put her off. He put her off. It was his job. It was his responsibility. He was supposed to judge on her behalf. And he said, go away. Don't bother me. Well, you would think that would dissuade her. But Jesus tells us it didn't. She was persistent. And she came back again. And again. And again. She kept coming back to the point that he said, all right, I will make a judgment for you. And we're told why. We're told that he was afraid that her coming back and forth would wear him out. And literally, in the Greek, it says that she might threaten him and beat him up. He was concerned for his safety and well-being. And that's what motivated him to make the judgment. And he did. And Jesus holds this example up for us. What do we learn from the woman? It's a very simple thing. Be persistent. Be persistent. You know what that means? In your workplace, your boss might come up to you and he says, you know, you have a quality that is of excellent quality for our company. You are persistent. That's right. I give you a job on Monday and you stay at it through the week until you finish it up. And that's good for our company. I want to commend you for your persistence. Maybe your teacher comes to you and says, you know, of all the students I've had, you are so persistent. You just keep at that assignment until you get it right. Good quality persistence. And Jesus says, when it comes to our prayer life, be persistent before your Heavenly Father. Don't give up. Don't quit. Come again and again and again. Good quality to develop in our lives as Christians. Persistence. But Jesus underlines why we can be persistent with our Heavenly Father. And he reveals it as he makes the application of the text. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Here's verse 7. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. There's something majorly different between this earthly judge and your loving Heavenly Father. The earthly judge didn't care about anything or anyone. Your Heavenly Father is just the opposite. He is justice personified. He is rightness, but he's also love and mercy. And he has you on his heart. Jesus says, is God going to put you off? No. When we come in our prayers to the Heavenly Father, we should come with that confidence. Now he's listening. Now he's going to hear. And now he's going to answer. I need to look for the answer. Watch for the answer. Scan the horizon for the answer. Not give up. Not think, oh, he doesn't care. Oh, he doesn't love me. Oh, he isn't concerned about my life. Those things are not true. Just the opposite is true. He loves you. He showed it in his son going to the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine, for the sins of the whole world, atoning for them there. Jesus reminds us of the special relationship that you and I have with our Heavenly Father. He describes it here. Chosen ones. Who are the chosen ones? Believers in Christ. They are the chosen ones. You, a Christian, a believer in Christ as your Savior, are the people Jesus is talking about. We are the chosen ones. We are part of God's family. We're not on the outside looking in. We're on the inside looking up to our Heavenly Father. We are his dearly loved children. And as we keep those things in mind, forgiven, covered in the blood of Christ, redeemed children of God, members of his family, friends of Jesus, and the list goes on, what happens? I'm not quitting. That's what happens. We're renewed. We're empowered. We're strengthened. Our faith leads us to come again with the prayer request. Come again and again and again with confidence and trust that our loving Heavenly Father is going to answer in a way that's good for us in time and eternity. So what do we pray for? Think of your prayer life as an ever-widening circle. Imagine in the center of that circle is Jesus Christ. And then, through faith in him, we have the ability to pray and know that he intercedes for us. And then the circle widens. We're in the center of that circle. Widen that circle a little bit more, and other people are in that circle ever widening. And then it widens even more to our enemies, to our leaders, to government officials, to the people we've never met before. Yes, the circle widens ever, ever outward. And as we pray, we can start by praying for ourselves. Lord, help me fight this temptation. Lord, give me wisdom as I have to make these family decisions. Lord, give me patience. I mean, You name it, you pray for it. Go to others, family members. That straying child that I talked about, that maybe you've given up on, bring him or her to the Lord in prayer. Maybe it's a neighbor who you haven't ever invited to church, and you've said to yourself, I've always wanted to, but I don't have the opportunity. Pray for the opportunity and then the words to invite. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Pray for your pastor. Yeah, not only in October, but every day. Put him on your prayer list. That God would guide him, grow his faith, give him patience, give him good health to serve faithfully. Pray for your teachers. Pray for your principal. Pray for your fellow Christians. I mean, the circle gets wider and wider, doesn't it? And Jesus says, keep on praying. Don't give up. I would also encourage you today to pray for the work we do together in the Wisconsin Synod. The Wisconsin Synod isn't an organization. It's not an institution. It's people. People like you, people like me, people like your pastor, your teachers, your principal, your organists, choir members, the list goes on. We're people who have been drawn together through a common faith in Christ. We are people who are drawn together by a common doctrine and practice that the Holy Spirit has led us to embrace and confess. We are a people with a mission to bring that simple saving truth of Christ to the lost and dying world. To bring that message of Jesus Christ to people who have already heard it, that they might be nurtured and strengthened in the faith, that they would stay faithful until the day he calls them home. Fellow Christians, whatever is on your prayer list, keep on praying. Don't give up. Amen. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. You'll find it on page 9 in your service folder. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that we have seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken to the gods. We believe in one holy, Christian, apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we bring our offerings to the Lord today.
We also pray, gracious God and Father, we praise you for the countless blessings which we receive from your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank you for your saving word and for your Son's body and blood, which you give us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, you send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth. Great God and Lord, without your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of your grace, and move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that you have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring your healing to troubled homes and lives.
Move us to pray for those in need, and to help them with deeds of kindness.
For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. Renew the love between husbands and wives, especially those among us celebrating their wedding anniversary. May we, their friends and family, continue to support them in their marriage, living life in your ways. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith, and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Just a note for those who need a gluten-free wafer, please note the fact that there's a little dish inside the paten that has the gluten-free wafers. As the elder comes by, please help yourself to that gluten-free wafer. For the rest, the elder will hand you the wafer. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
preserved you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live for him in peace and joy. You are at peace with God.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Good morning again. Great to see each and every one of you in the house of our Lord. A special presentation taking place in between the services. Pastor Kogler will continue to talk about the ministry of Christian giving and what that means. It's more than just finances. As he mentioned throughout the sermon, it's about prayer and just being good managers of God's gifts to us. The gift of life, physical life, and above all, spiritual life. And how we then can pass that on to the next generation. So hopefully you can stay to hear more about that. But before you stay and hear about that, help yourself to a cup of coffee or some water. There's some donuts there as well and some other good treats. Visitors, glad to have you with us. Please stop by our Welcome Center. There's a gift waiting for you there. We look forward to meeting you also. There will be no foundation class tonight, the Bible information class. Just keep that in mind, but it will be again next Sunday, Lord willing. LWMS, the Mission Box Sunday, so please see the information board there in the entryway to pick up a Mission Box. And also next Sunday, please see the weekly news for what's happening through LWMS regarding next Sunday, a Mission Emphasis Sunday, as that relates to our stewardship and welcoming people into eternal dwellings. They got a great project there. It does involve some money, but it's a small investment. See the weekly news. Painted Cork event, that's coming up next week. See the weekly news. There's a theme here, weekly news. Connect 40s and 50s. We have a special event scheduled for October 21st. That's a Sunday in the evening. Again, see the weekly news for more details. Hopefully your 40s and 50s can make it, because I heard there's a challenge. The 40s and 50s want to take on the 20s and 30s. So game on, all right? Area Reformation Service is scheduled for November 4th. That's the Sacramento Area Congregations. Reno congregations have been invited, and weather permitting, they'll be able to make it. We'll see, but especially the Sacramento area. Again, see the weekly news and the information board, as there are some important sign-up sheets, because not only are we able to worship the Lord at 4 o'clock, but then following Good Lutherans, we gather together for food as well. Again, for more information, see the website, the weekly news. If you don't get it by email and you're able to get email, contact Carolyn in the office. She'll gladly set it up. If you see somebody who's got a birthday, wish them happy birthday, anniversary, wish them happy anniversary. And don't forget to introduce yourself to each other. If you forgot their name, that's all right. And if you got their name last week and they give you a different name, scratch your head and go, okay, that's their name this week. And Pastor Kogler gave you one idea in the sermon of what to pray for, and that's for Pastor to stop talking. I will do that now. Have a great day in the Lord.